The final week of the regular season is packed with playoff drama. Packers.com senior writer Mike Spofford sorts out all that's at stake in the NFC.
Hand off Peterson, stutter steps into the left side of the line, nowhere to go, hit and deck.
In week 11, the Packers held Adrian Peterson to just 45 yards rushing. How'd they do it, and can they do it again? And later.
Good, shoulders back. Excellent.
You know BJ Raji, the run stuffer, but coming up, you'll get to meet BJ the Yogi.
Coming here instantly relieves a lot of that stress and tension, and I'm able to go about, you know, the rest of my work week in a manner that is acceptable to myself and the coaches and so forth.
Next on Packers Today.
This is the 2015 Green Bay Packers. This is our opportunity.
Prime time, a chance to play for the division.
Can't get any much bigger than that.
It's our division to lose, you know. We take pride in that.
Happy New Year, and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Laura Maggiore, and I'm joined by Larry McCarron. Any New Year's resolutions this year?
Yeah, Lauren, as a matter of fact, I do. I'm going to give my complexion the tender, loving care it so richly deserves. I'm going to be more camera friendly in 2016.
I'm looking forward to how
you look
do
at
that.
This, it looks like 20 miles of bad road. I'm going to fix it finally.
Share some of your tips with me, okay?
All right. You don't need them.
For the third consecutive season, the NFC North will be decided in the regular season finale. With a win, the Packers can make it 5 straight division titles.
Yeah, that's something special. Should never be taken for granted. I mean, it is a franchise record. They'll be building on that, hopefully. And the thing to notice about it is, for the third straight year, as you mentioned, they're playing for the division title in the regular season finale. But it's been a different team every year. Chicago, Detroit, and now Minnesota. And the other cast of characters continually changes, but the Packers remain the constant. Very difficult to do.
Now, the time for talk seems to be well over. That seems to really be the theme in the locker room this week. No matter the challenges, no matter the injuries, the guys recognize that this is the time to put up.
You know, when we were kids, my mom used to say when we get sick, we didn't have any money for the doctor. When we got sick, she'd say, you'll either die or get better. It's at that point in the season. Who's it going to die or get better? We got to get better.
Tough love, huh?
Yeah.
Well, every week we say it's important to win, but coming off of last week's performance in Arizona, this feels like a game the Packers need to get in order to get the ball rolling for a playoff run.
You know, to be honest, Lauren, I know that's conventional wisdom. It makes all the sense in the world. I'm more specifically looking for them to play well, all three phases. And if something crazy happens and the Vikings win it in some odd way, so be it. But let's get back to playing good, sound Packer football, like I said, in all three units.
Week 17 always provides great playoff drama, and this year will be no different. In the AFC, there are 4 teams vying for the final 2 spots. The Steelers and the Jets are in search of the wild card, and the Texans and the Colts are seeking the South Division crown. In the NFC, all the tickets to the postseason have been punched, but that's about all we know. Here's Packers senior writer Mike Spofford with more.
The NFC playoff picture is pretty clear. Except where it isn't. We know our 6 teams, Carolina, Arizona, Green Bay, Washington, Minnesota, and Seattle. Only the NFC East champion Redskins have their seed locked up at number 4. Let's get to work on our 5 remaining seeds. Carolina and Arizona will be the top 2 seeds and have first round byes, but the order isn't certain. The Panthers can earn the top seed simply by beating the Buccaneers. Should the Panthers lose, the Cardinals can steal the number 1 spot by beating the Seahawks because Arizona would have the better conference record. In either case, both of these teams are waiting to see who their opponents will be in the divisional round. The winner of the 3 seed will be decided Sunday night as the Packers and Vikings square off for the NFC North title. Simple enough. The winner gets a home game on Wild Card Weekend. The loser hits the road for its playoff opener. The scenarios for the 5 and 6 seeds is where the real fun begins. We already know one of these two spots will be filled by Seattle. The other spot will be filled by the Vikings or Packers. If it's Green Bay, which would mean a Packers loss to the Vikings, the Packers are number 5 and the Seahawks are number 6, regardless of the Seahawks-Cardinals outcome in Week 17. If the Packers beat Minnesota, Seattle can take the 5 seed with a win over Arizona, and the Vikings take the 6th spot. If the Seahawks lose, they're the 6th seed, no matter what. So what does this mean for Green Bay? Heading into Sunday, the Packers are looking at any of 3 potential opponents on wildcard weekend. If Green Bay beats Minnesota to get the 3 seed, the Packers would host the 6th seed. If Seattle beats Arizona, a Packers-Vikings rematch is set for Lambeau Field. If Seattle loses, the Seahawks come to Green Bay next weekend. If Minnesota beats Green Bay and takes the NFC North crown, the Packers would fall to the 5 seed, setting a road date with the one NFC playoff team the Packers did not face in the regular season, the Washington Redskins.
Thanks for that report, Mike. Very well done. Now, Larry, to me, the playoff picture always seems like a really confusing, ever-changing puzzle. That's why I'm glad Mike did it. So did you understand all that?
Absolutely not. God bless Mike and those of his ilk. But the only thing I know for sure is if the Packers win tonight, they host a playoff game.
Exactly. Now, turning our attention to what really matters, tonight's primetime matchup against the Vikings. Larry, we played and beat the Vikings in Week 11, and both teams are 3-2 in their last 5 games. What stands out most about the Vikings right now?
Lauren, if I told you there would be no need for the scouting report, why don't you go ahead and introduce it?
My pleasure. Now, there's a lot at stake in this one tonight. To the winner goes the NFC North title and the right to host a playoff game next weekend. For an in-depth look at the Vikings, here's this week's scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau.
The biggest difference in the Vikings now, as opposed to the Vikings of 6 weeks ago, the play of Teddy Bridgewater.
What a beautiful throw by Teddy Bridgewater.
In Minnesota's last 3 games, Bridgewater completed over 70% of his passes with 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. His quarterback rating during that span, 123.2. After the Packers sacked Bridgewater 6 times in the first meeting,
third and long, he's hit and sacked again!
The Vikings adjusted their offense.
A lot more quick stuff, a lot more play action, too. And that feeds off their run game.
Of course, said run game features Adrian Peterson and therefore ranks as one of the league's best, as does the Vikings kickoff return unit, thanks to Cordarrelle Patterson.
He has size, good size, good speed. He's not scared to run the ball, as you can see, and he's very confident in his ability. So he definitely poses a threat, you know, no matter who's covering him every week.
Despite the presence of the league's number 2 kick returner, number 1 rusher, and an ascending quarterback, the Vikings' bell cow is still their defense.
Here's the blitz, and Rodgers is sacked!
No Pro Bowlers, but playmakers at every level. And 3 of them, Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, and Harrison Smith, just returned from the sick list.
Held the Bears to 17, held the Giants to 17, so they're a confident bunch right now, and they're playing some good football.
And let's face the football facts.
Gets a big block off the right side of the 10 to the 5, and he's in for the touchdown.
After that 38-8, 9-sack meltdown in the desert, the same cannot be said for the Green Bay Packers. And the sudden death games are fast approaching.
You can talk all you want. It's getting a part of the season here. It's just getting the job done. It's you know, all the rhetoric about, you know, we need to improve on this and, you know, we'll work on it. That's gone. From this game out, it's playoff type mentality. I mean, we need to win and get on the roll and get things going.
Larry, the Packers played their most complete game in the second half of the season in the 30-13 win over the Vikings in Minnesota. What will it take to get that same kind of victory this time around?
Actually, Lauren, I could live with the same formula we saw in the team's earlier meeting. Packers had a 100-yard rusher in Eddie Lacy, had a 100-yard receiver in James Jones. And get this is very important, they did not turn the ball over. Defensively, they put the stops to Adrian Peterson and had six sacks. All those things happened tonight. I think we win that game.
Coming up next on Packers Today, stopping Adrian Peterson. It's front and center in this week's Chalk Talk. And later, nose tackle B.J. Raji is having one of his most productive seasons. To what does he attribute it to?
Keep breathing, lengthen. Yes.
Yoga, of course. Packers Today is back after this timeout. Unseasonably cool temperatures in Arizona, the Packers Everywhere pep rally was a huge success at Clancy's in Scottsdale. The Packers will host a pep rally each week throughout the playoffs, whether they're home or away. Look for that announcement early next week on Packers.com. Larry.
Today's Chalk Talk is entitled First Things First. Containing Adrian Peterson starts with beating the guy across from you.
In the Packers' first meeting with the Vikings, they held the league's leading rusher to 45 yards on 13 carries. That averages out to 3.5 yards per and was the result of Packer defensive linemen dominating blockers in their one-on-one matchups. Base 3-4, B.J. Raji on the nose, and he's way too strong for Mike Harris. Peterson's plan A, gone. LaTroy Guyon, the left end, is just too quick for T.J. Clemmings, and Peterson's cutback lane, gone as well. Too strong, too quick, and tackle Mike Daniels is too everything for Brandon Fusco. Daniels shocks him, sheds him, and Peterson's chance to bounce it outside, also gone. Three one-on-one matchups. The Packers win all three, and it's meet at Adrian Peterson for a one-yard loss.
Mike, everybody's going to be talking this week about stopping Adrian Peterson. In my humble opinion, that starts with whipping the guy in front of you.
Absolutely.
You say?
I say the same thing. You have to win. You got to win your one-on-ones. You got to beat the guy across from you, and everything else take care of itself.
Lauren, in the Vikings' five losses to date, Adrian Peterson has averaged just under 50 yards rushing. So slowing him up, containing him, goes a long way toward beating Minnesota.
And speaking of slowing them up, now the Packers' defense has played really well throughout the season. But what's impressed you the most about Dom Capers' unit so far?
Tough to score against, plain and simple. That's the bottom line, and their bottom line is good.
Well, earlier you mentioned in the scouting report how the Vikings have adapted their offense in response to the Packers sacking Teddy Bridgewater six times in that Week 11 matchup, and they get Bridgewater off his mark again tonight and have that same sort of pressure.
Lauren, I'd be surprised because that's what the Vikings changed. It's more quick rhythm, quick throws, quick reads, that type of thing. He'll still go downfield, right down in distance and so forth, but the Vikings have purposely made it harder to sack Teddy Bridgewater.
Coming up next on Packers Today.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess. And I finally gave in.
B.J. Raji wasn't the only one skeptical about yoga. It's not every day you expect to see a run-stuffing nose tackle execute twisting crescent lunge.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Performance on the field is only part of being a Packer. There's studying, proper nutrition, getting enough rest. This isn't just a career, it's a lifestyle. And for defensive tackle B.J. Raji, being a warrior at Lambeau starts with that very same pose on his yoga mat.
Down, shoulders back.
When you encounter a 337-pound lineman, it's usually not a zen experience. But if it happens to be Flow Yoga Studio, seeing B.J. Raji is
good,
serene.
Right. Shift forward to high plank. Inhale.
Raji practices 2 to 4 times a week and swears yoga has changed how he plays football.
Increased flexibility and just overall just mental clarity and just a nimbleness about me.
Honestly, the size of B.J. does not faze me whatsoever. I think it's just more what I can do to loosen him up. Take the hands forward.
His instructor, who is also the owner of Flow Yoga, Ryan Cunningham, has close to 14 years of experience.
That left arm, take it right away over to the left.
She started out as BJ's masseuse and suggested incorporating yoga into his weekly routine.
Good.
It took some years of convincing, you know, because initially I didn't see the correlation. I didn't see how it could help me.
Take one more inhale.
BJ spent the 2014 season on IR with a torn bicep. That allowed him the time to practice yoga and helped tremendously with not only his recovery, but injury prevention.
The biggest thing that has helped me with, too, was recognizing things in my body before the big uh-oh, I guess, so to speak.
Like right now, his right side's tighter than his left. I could see that already. He's very intelligent and wants to learn and know more, and he never hesitates to ask questions. So full lunge forward, low lunge.
There is, at times, obviously the sport calls for physicality and brute strength and, you know, athleticism, but in other ways, it's a more of a mental game.
Ah, there we go.
You know, a lot of times, like, we'll be doing some balance things, and she'll have me look at a certain area on the floor, like things like that, which, you know, correlates to my position as far as, you know, keying my guy or keying my area, like, dependent one on the field.
Since there's no chance of me being able to compete with BJ on a physical level, I offer some friendly competition, joining his focus challenge and try to remain balanced.
We have one more round. Good. Bend that left knee to your chest. Left knee to your chest. Come up to standing. Take it to Warrior Three, and then we'll be done with that. Good job. He's passionate about being here to make himself a better player and stay injury-free. Just a couple deep breaths.
You know, who knows what the future brings, but ultimately, I see myself being a long-time yogi.
BJ said it himself. Despite his skepticism at first, he's a yogi for life. He even incorporates it on the football field. If you pay close attention to him on the sidelines, you can find him doing yoga during pregame. When we return, alumni spotlight featuring Ken Bowman and the famed Packers sweep, plus Larry's key matchups to watch for during today's game.
I always thought, what a great psychologist the guy was. Because I think at the end of practice, most teams run wind sprints at the end of the, we run the sweep. And about the time he had you just so tired you couldn't fight him anymore, why he'd start talking about the sweep.
This is the most important play we have. It's the play we must make go.
And how everybody runs the sweep, but nobody runs it like the Green Bay Packers.
It's the play that we will run again and again and again.
You get enough of that, and you start believing it. He was a great coach. He knew how to put the pressure on you, too.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundraland. The Packers' power sweep is possibly one of the most famous plays in football.
Yeah, they were still running it when I first got here. And Bo, I'll tell you what, he really added to that play because he could make what's called the onside reach, or defensive tackle in those days, line up right over the guard, and he, to the play side, could get that guy cut down, really helped that play. He was the best in the business at it.
Oh, a little piece of history there. Thanks.
Well, that's okay. I'm old. I know a lot of history.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, you did. It hurts my feelings. And I'm going to improve my complexion, darn it.
Okay, Larry, the key to stopping the Vikings this year has been stopping the run. Aside from getting after Adrian Peterson, what other key matchups are you going to be watching today?
No one I'm going to be watching. They got a 37-year-old cornerback named Terrence Newman. Pretty good player, but he's not their best cornerback. Somehow, someway, our receivers got to create separation and win on the routes. I'm watching that matchup.
All right. Thank you very much, Larry. And thank you for spending part of your Sunday morning with us. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Enjoy week 17. And if you're attending tonight's game, be sure to get loud, Lambeau. Have a great day, everyone.